Turn with me this morning in your Bibles as we continue the study on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Just going to cover a couple of verses this morning. But the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaching to the multitudes, the people that he has healed, and he's there to correct all of the things of the false teaching of the Sadducees and the false teaching of the Pharisees, and he loves them. It's God sitting there teaching his people. And now before us in chapter 7, starting a whole new section, actually in verse 13, let me read it to you. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In just those two scriptures this morning, we have moved into a brand new section. And what I want you to see and determine right now in your heart is that Jesus is not, in a sense, opening up a whole new section as he is now bringing the Sermon on the Mount to a dynamic close. It's so masterful the way he does it, because he's telling people that they have to make a decision. It's beautiful. He's saying that there are two roads in life. He loves the people that are in front of him. But isn't it amazing that God gave the multitude, he gave them a choice, as well as he gives man here today a choice. And so what he does, he moves into the arena of salvation, and then he makes that application. And that's what we're going to do in this service this morning. So he says here, basically, in those two scriptures, he said, listen, it's time to make a decision. You want to come after me? You want to serve God? Then you've heard what I've said that you must do, and I will enable you to do those things because I'll come and live in your heart. Now, when we look at these scriptures this morning, it's imperative that you and I, from verse 13 all the way to the end of chapter 7, as Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount, that we understand just one thing. That Jesus is telling all of us this morning, and all of them, and every man and every woman that will ever be born, that there are only two roads in this life. Satan says there are many roads. The world tells us that there are thousands of roads. But Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord, our Savior, narrows down life to two roads. He says, first of all, there is a road, and it's called the narrow way. The other road is called the broad way. And every man that's ever been born and every woman that has ever been born, we are either on one road or the other. There are absolutely no exceptions. You and I are either walking down the narrow way with Jesus, or we are walking away from Jesus, going down the broad way that leadeth to destruction. No other roads. It's imperative that you see that this morning. Only two roads. Now, with that in mind, let's you and I enter into the narrow gate this morning by looking at verse 13. And let's break these scriptures down, and then we'll make some applications along the way. Jesus says in verse 13, he uses a beautiful word. He says, enter by the narrow gate. He's closing now, closing out this, the greatest sermon that's ever been taught or preached on Christian conduct ever in the world or in the Bible. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And Jesus gives us an invitation, and he says the narrow way begins with an open door, and that open door is me. He says, I want you to enter, and that means that man has a choice, and man has a decision to make. Aren't you glad this morning? No matter what time you came to the Lord, 10 years ago, 30, 50, 60, 5 days ago, thank God this morning that we are on the narrow road. Amen. And there's where life is found, and that's where victory is found. That's where God wants his people. Every day of the week is on that narrow road, on that journey into life, because it leads you, it has a destiny. And Jesus gives that invitation, that call to action. He says, I want you to make a decision. You have to remember, he's preaching to the multitudes. It's time, decision-making time. For some of you this morning, it's a decision-making time. You may have stumbled into this place or been invited by a friend and maybe listened to us on the radio or whatnot. But God says, you're here today because I wanted you to be here. And God is telling us all that we all have a decision to make. And that decision right there is to enter the narrow gate. It's just like Jesus in Mark 1:17 when he told the disciples, or actually he was calling the disciples, and he said, follow me. Same word, enter the narrow gate, follow me. And he says, I will make you Jesus said, He will do it, not us, okay? Jesus said, I will make you, in Mark 1:17, to become fishers of men. That word become is a beautiful word because it indicates that Christian life is a process. In other words, the moment that you're saved, yes, you're justified, but we have a walk, and that walk is called sanctification. And this morning in front of me, some of you are tiny baby Christians just crawling, and some of you are young nuisances. No, I'm just joking. And you know, some of you are the toddlers, you know, my God, help us. And you know what I'm saying? Some of you are teenage Christians, and some of you are adult Christians, and some of you are older and mature, but you're still growing, and a Christian never, ever stops growing. We're never there until we see Jesus face to face. That's when it's concluded. That's when it's finished. And so we think this morning when Jesus, as that scripture I quoted to you about becoming fishers of men, it's that process. And that's what happens. See, when you entered that narrow gate, it is a process. It's an ongoing process. And Jesus won't leave you there. You know, so many times Christians feel like they're failing and not making the grade. Listen to me. Jesus is with you if you're on the narrow road. And even if you fell off the narrow road, I got good news for you. The Holy Spirit's going to hound you until you get back on the narrow road. And He usually uses preachers to do it. The Lord loves you today. Now, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. Why? Because there are only two possible kinds of life on this earth that are possible for man. Either the broad way or the narrow way. And every person, whoever you are here this morning, you're either on one or two roads. Jesus wants you to be on the road that leads to the abundant life. As God told Moses in Deuteronomy 30:15, He says, See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Now listen, that's not difficult. If God says, okay, I'm setting before you today life or death, good. Or what, you know, what are you going to say? I think the life and death I don't want today. I mean, that's not hard, is it? But the problem is that what Jesus said, He said, many go into the other gate. They don't want life. They're deceived and they're fooled. It's only few choose true life. So Jesus, in that invitation, when He says for us to enter, that doesn't mean that that saves you. When you've entered the narrow gate, it means that you are already saved. When you've asked Christ to come into your heart, the moment that you did that, church, the moment that you received Him, you put your foot right on the narrow path, right then. So if you're born again this morning, you're on that narrow road. And all that you need, everything you need to stay on that road, God has already given you. All of His grace, all of His power, all of His love, all of His mercy, all of His goodness belongs to you. It's there for you right now. Yeah, but Bill, I fell yesterday. Well, do you know what? Hebrews 4:16 says that you have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and you can have mercy and help in time of need. You can have your sins forgiven. Christians aren't perfect. I hope that doesn't shock you. No, I'll back that up. Christians are perfect. Yes, you are perfect because you're in the perfect one. Unfortunately, we do stumble. Now, what do I mean? Someone's going to say, I'm going to email him. I sense that. Listen, you're perfect right now. Why? Because God has given you Jesus' perfect righteousness. His perfect righteousness. It belongs to you now. It's in your account. When God sees you, He sees Christ. He doesn't see the myriad of sins that you and I have committed. Oh, no, He hid them in the sea of eternal forgetfulness. Oh, thank God for the scripture in Micah 7. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, our sins, our transgressions, they're gone. Why? Because you're in Christ. Christians on the narrow road get in trouble sometimes. Thank God for the blood of Jesus because it's there. But there is a problem. And I say this not as a criticism, but as an observation. You see, the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon that challenges you. It's not easy to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's especially not easy to love your enemies. It's especially not easy to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, is it? No, it's not easy, but it can be done because God commands. His commandments are our enablements if you're on the narrow road. However, there is a problem today. There is a negative. And that negative lies in the church. And it lies with Christians who are Jesus namers, but are not Jesus followers. I am working right now, don't want to get off the subject, but I am working right now, and in 2 months, the Lord willing, if I can get it put together, we're going to put a stop to that. Well, we're going to put a dent in it. But you see, many people are Jesus namers. Do you know the Lord? You a Christian? Oh, yeah. You belong to a church? Oh, yeah. Been there all my life. What do you do there? Nothing. You have a prayer life? Yeah, I pray every morning over my breakfast while I'm reading the sports page. That's exciting. You know how to lead anyone to the Lord? Never led anybody to the Lord. I see. How long have you been a Christian? 25 years. Interesting. Jesus namers. Now, wait a minute, Bill. Are you talking about works now? No, I'm not talking about works. I'm saying that once you get saved, something happens to you. Something happened to me when I got saved. It wasn't like I'm same as I was yesterday. No, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Let me back up. I was translated out of the power of the kingdom of darkness. And then I was translated over to the kingdom of Jesus. Something happened to me internally, and now it takes place externally. Something happened. Why? Because I submitted. You see, there's no formation without submission. And if you don't believe me, look at verse 21 in chapter 7 about the Jesus namers. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. They were naming the Lord, see? They're Jesus namers. It says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What's the will of your Father in heaven? The Word of God. To love one another. To love God. To enter the narrow gate. To live for Him. It says here, many will say to me in that day, the Jesus namers, here it comes, Lord, Lord. We've prophesied your name, cast out demons in your name, done wonders in your name. Then Jesus says, hey, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That had a lifestyle that just practiced sin. They just named the name of the Lord. In the church today, there are many like that. And God says, I want you back on the narrow road where you started out. That's why Jesus says, look at verse 17 again. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Look what he says now. There are many who go in by it. That breaks my heart. The broad way. What is the broad way? The broad way is the popular way. The broad way is what's happening right now in our nation and in our schools and in our society. In other words, you know, it's the broad way. It's wide and it's open. It's well lit. It's easy to find. It's not difficult at all. And the entire system of our world and our society is built upon the broad way. Now just think, you and I, as it says in 1 John 2:14 through 15, you and I have overcome the wicked one, meaning Satan. Why? Because we're in Christ who overcame the wicked one. Yet, you and I live on a planet that is governed by Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this age. That world system, that antichrist spirit that has invaded this planet. I believe Jesus is coming. Now, I believe that we could be out of here any time, but I believe that our redemption is really drawing nigh, folks. Now, listen. You see, the broad way requires absolutely nothing. Nothing. It's popular. It majority rules, in other words. In other words, any lifestyle is acceptable. Any belief system is valid. You can make up your own rules. And matter of fact, the broad way is so wide, it's so broad that it can handle any false doctrine or anything you throw at it because it's part of the world. It doesn't matter. Hey, you fit in. Just be who you are. Be yourself, you know? It's okay to, like I heard this one preacher this morning on the way into church here, and he was talking about the movie Friends. Now, I've never seen that movie, but I think I've seen it a couple of times in my life. I don't want to sit here and tell you a story, but he made a wonderful point. I don't care for movies that degrade people. Do you understand? I just don't. I'm not saying I'm holier than anybody else. I'm just saying I don't care for movies that where one woman can walk and one guy can hop into the bed with five different people in a week and it's okay. I mean, that's filth. Do you understand? That's sin against God. But see, it's the broad way, and everybody accepts it, and it's supposed to be, I guess it was what everybody wept the day they went off the air. I wept, too, with gladness. Thank you, God. Now, but the majority, see, the world says anything's acceptable. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. See, you've got to be careful, church, about the broad way, because it says many go in there by it. And the problem is, that's the majority. Listen, the majority is usually wrong. Go to the book of Numbers and check out Caleb and Joshua. They went into the promised land, or they wanted to go into the promised land. The spies went and spied it out, and they came back and said, everything God said is true. Oh, look at these grapes. Aren't they wonderful? He said, but there's a problem. What is it? told all those millions of Jews. He said, well, here's the problem. He said, man, those people, they're strong. They're well fortified. And not only that, they're giants in the land. And I felt like a grasshopper in their sight. What did Caleb do? Moses. Well, Moses grabbed a hold of his garment, ripped it in two, fell on his face before God. And Caleb and Joshua, what did they say? They said, listen, we can do it because God said we can do it. We can go in and take the land that God is giving us. We can do it right now. They are bread for us because God delights in us. And you know what happened? That day after that noble speech and saying, yes, let's follow the Lord, they picked up stones to stone them. They wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb. Think about that. The majority was wrong. You see, the narrow road doesn't accept majority rule. Listen to me. Yes, it's narrow. The Christian life is narrow. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be a liar? Come on. Aren't you glad that you don't have to lust? Aren't you glad that you know that you don't have to covet because God will meet all of your needs exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think of? Aren't you glad that you don't have to go the way of the world? You can lay your head down at night and you can sleep because your God reigns, and He reigns in your heart and He reigns in your home. And you know that you can go to Him and find grace and mercy and help in time of need. Why? He's your Father which art in heaven. You're never going to be alone. Amen? Never going to be alone. Well, you're not going to find that. You're not going to find that on the broad road. That's not located on the broad way. The broad road leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to life. Noah went out. The majority, matter of fact, listen, talking about a majority, the entire world was against Noah. God shows up in Genesis 6, Noah, we've got a job for you. What is that? Well, I'm going to destroy the world. Okay. What does that mean? It means you better build this ark. Here's the plan, son. Get out there and chop down a gopher tree and start building. And he said, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to do all this thing, rain. And it's going to, oh, and what happened? For 120 years, Noah preached righteousness. No one believed him. The majority. They all said, Noah, you've been hearing from God again, huh? What's an ark, Noah? There's no, we don't know what an ark is. Rain? It's never rained. What are you talking about? You mean God would speak only to you, Noah, and all of the millions and millions of people that are on the earth right now? They're all wrong? Have anybody tell you that? Everybody's doing it and not you. And you're, now listen, all of them can't be wrong. Well, you know what my Bible tells me? It's just so I get it just exactly right. It tells me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things not yet seen. What things? About the God was going to break open the waters of the earth, and He was going to break open the canopy, the floodgates of heaven. And it says this. It says, moved with godly fear. What did Noah do? He prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world. Did you hear that? Noah, by faith in one promise or one word from God, one man against the entire majority of all of civilization stood firm with the word of God, and he condemned the entire world. How? Well, one day God said, Noah, it's time. He got all the animals in, all those mosquitoes and all the rest. Get them in there. And what did it say? It says that God shut the door. I've said this before, but it's worthy to be said again this morning. As that door shut, immediately the floodgates started opening up below and above. I can just hear the cries of the people. I can hear the cries of a woman with little children and hear her hands looking at her husband saying, you told me that Noah was a nut. You told me that there was no such thing as an ark or a flood or any of these things. But Noah was right. But the door was shut. Once that door is shut, no man is going to enter. And there is a time that is coming, and God is going to shut that door again according to Luke chapter 13. And no man will be able to open it. That age of grace will be behind us. One man condemned the entire world, the majority. Listen, the world, folks, that the problem with the Broadway is that, first of all, is where it leads. Look where it leads. It says the Broadway that leads to what? Destruction. That doesn't mean that you're going to be annihilated. That's not what that word implies, nor is it what it means. It means eternal misery in hell forever and ever and ever. It is the doctrine of eternal damnation. And so Jesus, as He's ending His sermon, He's telling the multitudes, listen, don't go the broad way. You have to go the narrow way. It's so wonderful for God to tell us which way to go. There's some of you this morning, you're sitting here and you're going, I don't know which way to go. Go with God. Oh, Bill, that's too. No, go with God. His way is always right. His way is always perfect. You can trust Him. He will never, ever lie to you because God cannot lie. That's good news. That means you can trust this Bible. Now, it says destruction. What kind of destruction? Well, look at verse 19. It says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, you can interpret that. You put your own interpretation what that fire means. He's not talking about the fire down here like a campfire. Never mind. Let's go to verse 23. And when I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Where do they depart to? I'll tell you where they depart. That's at the great white throne judgment. And they're going to depart where? Into eternal hell. Now, I don't like to talk about hell any more than anyone else does. It just happens to be in front of me this morning. Verse 27 implies the same thing where it says this, and it fell, speaking of the guy's house. And it says, and great was its fall. See, the problem with the broad way is to where it leads. Now, listen, let me provoke you with love for a moment. Let me challenge you, Christian, just for a minute. Don't get mad at me and send me some kind of email unless you want to do it in love, all right? And sign your name to it when you do. If the ungodly are on the broad road, for example, Friends is not a Christian program. I don't know if you know that or not. I mean, a lot of people are so desensitized to sin today that, you know, it's like, hey, that's okay. My question is this. If you know that the world is on the broad way that leads to destruction, church, listen to me. Why in the name of God would you take advice from the world? And yet, I am so shocked at the worldly counsel that Christians cling to and hold to, saying this will work. Listen, I've said it many times. I've read every one of the self-help books. I'll give them all to you if you want. You know, don't even have to buy them. Save yourself money, and I'll just give them to you, okay? They won't work. There's one book that'll work. It's right here in your hands. It's the most owned book in the world, and yet, at the same time, the most neglected book in the world. It's the Word of God. But when we get into the Word of God, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, meaning the Word of God, and it'll set you free. That's what the narrow road will do for you. But why in the name of the Lord would we accept any counsel from the ungodly, from the world, those that are on the broad way? When you read Psalm chapter 1, let me just read just for a moment. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel, that means advice, counsel of the ungodly. Interesting. What is he saying here? Well, now, Bill, I don't take advice from the ungodly. I mean, I don't listen to a murderer. Well, that's good. Well, I don't listen to a thief, or I'm not going to listen to a rapist. I mean, those are ungodly people. Well, that's not what that word ungodly means. It just means the guy right next to you who doesn't know God. It actually means those kind of people who have absolutely no time for the things of God, those people, the ungodly, who neglect the things of God, and that type of person whom God is not in any of their decisions or affairs in their life. Why, church, would you want to take any wisdom from those kind of people? Why? They won't help you. God will help you. God's Word will help you. Why? But that's the narrow road. That's the narrow way. It leads to life, but that broad way goes to destruction. Where do they end up? It says in Psalm 1 at the end, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind drives away. That's the evaluation of their life, the people that are on the broad road. They're just the broad way. They're going down it. Their life is empty. It's meaningless. It's nothing. It's not being lived for the right purposes of which it was intended, meaning to serve God with all of their heart. They're the chaff. You ever notice that chaff loves to hang around the church? Why is that? Well, chaff loves the wheat. See, the chaff is that outer husk. But you know what? You little get a little wind blowing in here, a little correction, a little Holy Spirit moving, and all of a sudden the chaff say, I can't take this. It's too narrow for me. No, man. Hey, listen, don't get mad at me if you're chaff. You can only be wheat before you leave. I'm being so kind. I'm telling you the truth. I used to be chaff. I used to be on the broad road. I used to be going to hell. I was going to hell, folks, just like all of you. But God intervened, and one day, somehow, someway, someone led you to Christ, and you entered that narrow road. Amen? And I've never regretted it once. I don't know about you. I've never regretted one day being a Christian. Never. I've regretted many things in my life. There is not one moment, one second in 28 years that I have ever said, I wish I had not received Christ as my Savior. Not once. I have thanked God 10,000 times 10,000. I thank God that He saved me. and that He will never leave me, that He will never forsake me, that He is mine and I am His. Amen. Oh, I thank God for that. And that is the narrow road. And that's the road that you're on, Christian, right now. He's right there with you. He's going to get you through. He will get you home. Now, Jesus says, look at this verse 13 again. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And here's the saddest part of this sermon, this close. Jesus says, and there are many who go in by it. That means that many choose the majority. Many choose the popular way. They just say, hey, this is what the world's doing. It, you know, we're sleeping together. Let's all sleep together. I got an email this morning at 5 o'clock from another state of people that I'd been counseling and begging and pleading for them to go and stay on the narrow road. And I warned them. I warned them for years, for over 2 years I have warned them, do not let your daughter do this. Please don't let your daughter do this. I begged them not to let their daughter do this. I pleaded on my knee with them. I said, stop now. If you don't get on the narrow road, if you don't change your way, if you name Christ, you've got to get off this road. It's going to destroy your children. What a beautiful young girl. So young. Good girl. And yet when I looked at my email at 5 a.m. this morning, and it said, oh, Pastor Bill, my little girl is pregnant, not even old enough to drive a car. I wanted, as I told this early service, I wanted to grab my computer and literally, church, I wanted to throw it into the wall of my office. Not out of anything else, but just so much pain and hurt. What is it today, church? Listen to me. I love you. I love you with all my heart. But listen to me, Christian. What is it about Christians that they come to Christ, they enter by the narrow road, and then they won't do what Jesus says to do? Listen, He knows what we need. He knows the direction that we need to go in. And they never develop a life of prayer. They never get into the Word of God. They're never discipled. And God says, I can't protect you if you're going to keep going down to Egypt. If you're going to keep going back into the world. Listen, you go down to Egypt long enough, you're going to come back with a Hagar. And a Hagar represents a work of the flesh. And then you say, oh God, forgive me. And He does. He forgives you and forgets it and cleanses you. But it'll get you. Sin cost. Sin has a payday. The wages of sin is death. And you know what? This church, us, we believers, listen to me. Let's don't get on the Broadway. Amen. Let's stay on that narrow way because there's so many people. And you know, that means that word said many, it means that they're not everyone is going to be saved. Doesn't that break your heart? It's not because God doesn't want all people to be saved, because it says in 2 Peter 3:9 that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But many people reject the grace and the love of God. They don't want it. They say, I don't want it. Why? It's too narrow. There are a lot of good people in this life. Good people. Good people in our city. Hard-working men and women who love their families and educate their children and make them mind and want the best for them. Just like in those that were in verses 24 through 27 about building their house upon a rock and about building your house on sand. Two people, both of them loved their families. Both of them wanted to take care of their families, but one house fell when the storms of life came through. Why? It was founded upon sand. It wasn't founded upon Jesus. They were on the broad way. Now listen, when we think about so many people, honest, hardworking people, not going to heaven, it just breaks my heart. Let me say something to you, and I mean no offense, or am I trying to offend any personality or celebrity when I make this comment. There is a young woman who I think has done more for children financially than many other people probably will ever do, and her name is Rosie O'Donnell. She's given multiple millions to help children, and I think that she has a sincere love for children. Not only that, I think in her own way, unfortunately, her own way, doing what's right in her own eyes, she is seeking God because she is a churchgoer. Now, I don't know what church she goes to and do not know what Bible she reads. She wouldn't make it very long here unless she repented. Now, I don't say that rudely. I just say that we teach the truth of God here. You know, and I'm not condemning Rosie because she's a homosexual. Let me tell you something. God loves Rosie. God loves everybody. God wants everyone to be saved. But unfortunately, she's deceived. And when I saw her walk down the steps, I guess it was out there in San Francisco, in the arms of another young lady, they'd married one another, it affected me. I'm wondering how that affects you. Do you not sit there and go, Where is my nation? Where is my country? You might even be asking yourself, where is the church? Not the type of church that rises up in some type of militant anti-gay rhetoric. My God. A type of church that gets on their knees and loves everyone and says, oh God, save our nation and save them. Listen, sin is sin, folks. We're living in a time right now where our nation has stepped onto the broad road greater than ever before. For the first time, this nation is actually going to debate what marriage is and what marriage consists of. And may I say to you, if it's not going to be one man and one woman freely and totally committed to each other for life, as companions for life, listen to me right now. This nation has just entered into the biggest time of trouble that it will ever have. That means that if it doesn't pass, and that type of marriage can take place now between women and women and men, that means the next step is a man can marry three or four women, or a woman can have four or five husbands at the same time, and God knows what else. Why? Well, the Bible, if you read the book of Judges, that's really the broad way. Seven cycles of sin and how God had to raise Israel back up every time and get them out of that sin. How? By sending judges into the nation to save them. America and the people of our nation now are doing what's right in their own eyes. Just like it says in Judges 21:25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now listen to me. When God is removed from a nation, in other words, the Word of God is removed, man will do anything and everything. The Word of God is what guides man, leads man. And unfortunately, I'm not trying to depress you. I hope that doesn't depress you. That's why I need to get onto your knees, amen, and pray. But unfortunately, what's happening in our nation and all of these things that are arguing that's going on is what it says in Isaiah 5:20 when it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Bill, why is this happening? Why did they do that? Well, verse 14 tells us why. Look at it. Jesus says this. He says, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. Now watch this. There are few, many go to the broad way, the popular way, but few who find it. You know what's wrong with Rosie? I'm not against Rosie. You know what's, it's too narrow. Well, no, I can do what I want to do. I mean, I believe in God, and God knows I believe in Him, and that's good enough. He knows that I'm going to go to heaven. I'm a good person. I don't steal, kill, or rob. Don't chew red man tobacco either. You understand? I'm a good person. Well, good people go to hell every day. Because, see, it's not about being good. It's about what road are you on? You're either on the same road Jesus is on, or you're on the road that leads to destruction. And many go in there. It's exclusive. It's narrow. It's restrictive. You know, listen to me. You know what I love about Jesus? Is right there in this one scripture, He reduces life down to this one scripture. I don't have to go searching for life. Everybody, listen, you or all of us have been on the journey. Where are you? I'm just trying to find out where I'm going, man. I'm just trying to locate my inner man, get in touch with myself. I'm trying to forget about myself. And, you know, but God, He loves us so much, He doesn't want to confuse us. So He narrows down the search that you don't have to search for 5 years. You don't have to search for 5 months. You don't have to search for 5 weeks. You don't even have to search for 5 minutes. 5 seconds will do it. He says, I'm the way. There is absolutely no other way. Isn't that wonderful to know that this morning you know the way to heaven? You know the road to be on. Why? Because Jesus just told us right here. You don't have to ever search. Now listen, Jesus is not a way. Let's clear that up right now. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. In the Greek, it would say it this way. I am the only way. The only way. There is absolutely no other way. You can't get to heaven. I can't get to heaven except by Jesus Christ, who leads us to the Father. Amen? And here's the problem, and here's the deception in life. You see, it's difficult. Look what it says. Difficult is the way. Listen, it is difficult. Look at Job's life. You think he had a happy life? He did in the end. But he was on the narrow road. Joshua, Moses, Caleb, all the men of God, women of God, Esther, all of them, they went through difficult times. But the reason that they made it was because they were on the narrow road. Paul and Silas being beat to death there in Acts chapter 16 in the lowest part of the prison, stripes upon their back in the sewer, literally. Stocks, they were in the stocks, midnight, the darkest hour. They were on the narrow road. Come on. They were. Well, I don't want to be on that road. Well, you are on that road. Doesn't mean you're going to end up in the stocks. Doesn't mean that at all. It means, listen, becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to have a happy day every day. It doesn't mean you're never going to be challenged. It doesn't mean that people are, everybody's going to love you because I'm a Christian. No, they're not. Jesus said if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. But the problem is it is difficult. See, it's so easy for us to act like the world. We know how the world acted because we used to act that way. It was easy to hate, easy to judge, easy to covet. But boy, to love your enemies, come on. To turn the other cheek when someone's wrong you. To pray for those who despitefully use you. You can't do that if you're on the broad way. But you can do it if you're on the narrow road because Jesus is inside of you. Amen? And He'll help you do those things. But it's difficult. Listen, you remember a few years back when I was preaching, and I think it was an Easter message, I don't know, and I pulled out a big funnel from underneath the pulpit. Remember that? It was about this long, that funnel. Does everyone know what a funnel is? A funnel has a great big mouth, a big opening on one end, and a tiny hole on the other. Is that right? Just wanted to make sure this is still America. You know, and you know, you take that thing and you can put it into another little hole and that's your transmission and you can take and pour the transmission fluid into the big opening and it'll go down the little area, right? Now, there's the problem. If you look at the big end of the funnel, it's so broad. You can pour anything in there. And see, Satan tells you there are many ways to live. Oh, I've got to live, you know, teens, listen to me. Don't live like the rest of the teens, live like Jesus. Amen. Listen, serve God with all of your heart while you have your youth. You'll never be able to give your youth away to God again. Give it to Him now. And what the devil and the world tell you is, oh, it's all right. Look, it's broad. Everybody's doing the majority. And what happens is you go in the broad way. You've already been there. We came out of the broad way. You go in there and life starts lying to you. And you go, well, I'm not happy, so I need a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, a little bit more sex, whatever, you know, and I need, it's just, I got to have this, a little more money, whatever. And so, what happens is the funnel gets narrow, more narrow, more narrow, more narrow, and then you get to the end of your life and the funnel is so restrictive and you're down there and you haven't been poured out into destruction yet, but you realize that everything in your life didn't satisfy you. You ended up hungry. You ended up thirsty. You ended up empty. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That's a promise you can hold on to, and that's only found on the narrow road. And you get to the end of your life in that broad way, and then you die and you're spit out, totally deceived, and then it ends up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But you see, the narrow way, it starts out with that little end of the funnel, so tiny. And you go, oh man, this is going to be so hard. Oh, I'm going to come to you, Lord, but I've got so much junk and so many problems. And oh God, okay, here I go. And you get into it and you go, oh, well, I know something happened to me. I know I've changed. I'm understanding the Bible. I know Jesus is real. And you keep walking down that narrow road. Yes, there are bumps. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, there are problems. Anytime you grow, it's hard. Come on, growing up is hard. Listen, I'm 35 years old, and I'm still growing up. I'm sorry, I was dyslexic. It's 53, not 35. Got it backwards up here. Came out wrong. It's still hard. I'm still being corrected. Oh, church, listen, I'm still growing up. I mean, I go and God examines my heart just like He does you. And I say, oh, God, I don't know why, just, oh, God. And He says, well, you're still on the narrow road, aren't you? Yeah, I'll get you home. See, I began a good work in you, Bill Quinn. You didn't begin that work, son. You didn't know how to begin that work. I'm the eternal God. I'm the one that liveth forever and ever and ever. I have the keys to hell. I have the keys to death. You have overcome the wicked one. Why? Because you're in me. You're going to win. Why? Because I will never leave you, never forsake you. I will in no wise ever cast you out. If you're on that narrow road, you're in the hands of God. And He is molding you. He is making you. Yes, it's narrow, but look what you're turning out to be. Praise His name. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's the narrow way. And that's what God has for you. Now listen, you go out and then as you start walking that Christian life, you're going through that funnel. You walk in, it's narrow on one end, but as you keep going, the funnel gets wider and wider and wider. Why? Because you start understanding what life is really all about. In other words, after about 4 or 5 years, you say, you know, if you're a man, you go, whoa, there's a scripture, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Boy, that'll help me grow up, won't it? And then you start trying to do it, and God says, now he's trying to do it, I'm going to help him. And then all of a sudden you understand that your helpmate becomes your best friend, and you can share everything together, you can pray together, and you realize that if you lost her, it would break your heart. Oh, life begins only with God, and life will end with God. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he's the beginning and the ending. And it's so sad when I see Christians that they start out saying, well, I do love the Lord, but then they don't get on the road. They stop, they look back, and they start, the appetites of the world keeps holding them. And God says, you come to me and I'll break every one of them. I'll break every ball and chain and every fetter that's holding you. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and he will go out and find pasture. It's difficult, folks. It's difficult to act like Jesus. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit and we can walk even as he walked. Amen. Where are you at this morning? Where are you? I say that in sincere love, genuine love. Where are we at? Christian, are you on the narrow road? Are you living for him? I mean, this life is only a vapor. It's like I read the other day and somebody said, since this life is only a vapor, I want to leave a vapor trail. Amen. Are you leaving a vapor trail for the Lord? You that are on the Broadway, listen to me. You have a decision to make. You have to make a decision because I'm going to force you to make a decision this morning. You can't remain neutral. It's impossible to remain neutral. You're going to choose this morning. You can either choose to come to Christ and enter in and be forgiven of all of your sins, filled with the Holy Spirit, having an intimacy and a relationship with God, knowing who you really are. Or you can choose the broad way. It leads to hell. What a horrible word, hell. I think when we get to heaven, that word will not be in our minds ever again after the great white throne judgment. Hell is a horrible word. It's a real word. It is a word that speaks of outer darkness, that speaks of a place where it's eternal torment, not because God wants it, but because man chose it. You'll find that God sends no one there. Man has a decision. Man has a choice. And you're here this morning, some of you, and guess what? You've heard the truth. And the truth is you can enter in by the narrow gate right now and be saved. That's a choice. That's a decision. It is a place of victory. The narrow road is a place where you hear the word of God. It is where God wants all of us this morning, with every head bowed.